Oh, yeah. Anybody from the public have any questions about the fourth budget? No, okay, we're good. We have to have a little time before the meeting so that Dan and Donna can answer questions. Now we're legal.
Okay.
As soon as we get to 7:30. Is it 7:30 up there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Exactly. I'd like to open the meeting at 7:30.
Special meeting.
Special meeting at 7:30. Okay. Pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adoption of item B, adoption of the agenda.
I move to adopt the agenda for the special meeting of June 30th.
Second that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
That's what's taking D out. Correct.
Right, making that correction with D being removed.
D being.
Is that, are you okay with that, Don?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
All right. So, Donna. This is, before Donna starts, just so we're all on the same page, this is the second year in a row where the budget and everything from the state was not given to us. They passed it on Friday. So everything in here is basically Donna putting it together. It's a proposed budget. The budget will look much different when we bring it to you because we'll have all of the funds that we're going to be getting versus us just putting something together so we could send it to them to check a box to say we did it.
Is this the first time they do it like that?
No, this is the first time they haven't made us have everything to them by the 15th. So if you remember last year, we had to have a special meeting, then we had to meet again on about the 10th or 11th or 12th.
Oh,
then
yeah.
We sent it to the state, then we had to turn around again in September and rewrite the whole budget once they gave us all the solid numbers. This year they've just said you don't have to have that meeting on the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Don't send us it until the end of August. Wait and send it once it's ready before August.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an extra 15 days to get it done.
Yes, because the July 5th on the proposed and the July 15th on the adopted are set in statute. So when they approved the funding and all the new numbers, they had to throw that into the legislature wording also to be sure or to cover not having the new budget submitted until August 1st. So, because statute should set up the 15th of July. So, anyways, the biggest change that's going to happen in the budget come when I revise this or make it adopted, will be to page 1 of 8. As you notice in the supply column, there's not very much in that column. It only comes up to $22,000. We need a little bit more money in that column than it shows in there, but with the limitation I had from what numbers they had not approved, this is the max that I could do. So this page is the one that's going to change the most. The capital page may change a little bit, which is page four. That one may change a little bit, but not probably. They did give us an increase in the DAA amount, but I don't. That's probably going to increase a little bit. But the biggest change you're going to see is on that page one, particularly in the supply line and not in the other, but in probably the purchase service column and maybe in the benefits.
Where's your supply? I'm looking here.
Right here.
Page one.
Right here. Page one, right underneath the word operation.
It's up and down.
Okay, gotcha.
Do you know about how much, maybe? No.
No, I have not even.
It just depends on.
I haven't plugged the new numbers in yet, so. Mm-hmm. And it went up about $300 because it's 44, and it went up from 41. So it went up $300 or so per student for ADM. So it'll go up a significantly, but yeah.
With everything going up, are we still okay on budget wise?
Yeah, the right now they said when they passed this budget, they did all these other things, like the article I gave you in here, giving all private schools, every student in the state, if they want to take, they now have a $6,600 voucher they can go to. They call it an ESA, but it's a voucher. They can go to any school in the state they want, and that voucher follows them. So that actually gives them $6,600 to pay tuition at private schools. So I don't know where they got all of that extra money, because it's been like pulling teeth with your fingers to get them to give this, you know, to give us anything. And then they passed this, kind of piggybacked it after the, I think it was a gentleman's agreement in a way that, okay, Democrats, Republicans are going to agree on a budget, and then you're going to agree that we're going to do this if we're going to give the schools money. So we got an extra, whatever Donna said. They also took away, there was a teacher experience
index
that gave us a little bit of money, but we basically got nothing for it. I mean, if you had stood on the corner down here at the four-way stop in Naco, you'd probably make more money at the end of the day than we're going to get from that in a year. So not very much, obviously, because there's not that many cars to go by. So it, actually, the way they did it doesn't hurt us at all. It helps us. But there are some schools that will lose quite a bit of money by losing that experience index.
Mm-hmm. So, well, like, you're talking about that because, like, our taxes, our property taxes and stuff, that's the biggest majority of our pie chart, you know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make, it's never made sense to me why money would go to private schools when they're not, those people aren't necessarily part of that plan.
Yeah.
You know, to me, if you're private, that would seem you're your own entity. Therefore, you would have to raise your own funds.
Well, and the rationale, and they don't allow people to actually work with schools to speak. I think they gave 2 minutes of time for school business people and superintendents to speak at their meetings and in their committee meetings. 2 minutes on each side in favor of and against. So the problem is that they say, well, this just makes an even playing field. If Brisa wants to send her kids to a private school now, she gets $6,600. But Mr. Olmos sends his kids to the public school basically gets the $6,600. And the problem is that public schools don't get endowments. You know, most private schools live off their endowments. They live off of the big money that's given to the churches and stuff that way. And we don't obviously have that. You know, I mean, if somebody gave NACO school money, you know, I mean, it maybe would be in the thousands of dollars, but there's not anything that's going to, you know, I mean, I don't see anybody that's going to be giving us $100,000 to $1 million in the near future. So it's not really an equal playing field, unfortunately. So, but it was good news to see that the Democrats and Republicans worked together on a budget. That was good to see in Arizona, because I don't know when the last time you guys had that. Usually they're just ready to attack each other. So so all of this stuff, I mean, it's all there, and a lot of the numbers are correct, the salaries and everything like that, the benefits. But Donna basically had to fill in whatever we had left in funds. And so some of those categories are very low. But also keep in mind, we pretty much ordered, everybody had to have their stuff in by April 15th so that we could have supplies ordered. And we have been trying to order everything that we could prior to July 1. So, I mean, we just ordered, yesterday we ordered a new laminator because our laminator's kind of on the rocks. And we ordered the parts to try to fix our old laminator, but that baby has put many miles of lamination together, so we'll have two, which should cut down on the usage. But that was another $1,200 or $1,300, I think. That, but the teachers like to laminate, so they make it once and then they can reuse it. And you know, if kids go up to color on it, they just wipe it off and it goes back. So little things like that, that'll fall under capital. But We have all of our new teachers coming in. We gave each teacher $250, so all of our new teachers will be ordering supplies, $250. But those supplies include office supplies, anything that we buy to, you know, paint, screws, scrapers, razor blades, on down, everything like that. We don't want to put any of that in capital unless it's, I don't remember what the cutoff or what the recommendation is, but it's over $1,000 or something to put it in capital. Because if you put anything in there, then you have to also be able to depreciate it. And, you know, it's kind of hard to depreciate thumbtacks, you know, little things like that. So,
how much do you know, by any chance, what other schools pay the teachers for that?
For supplies? Yeah. Some of them don't have anything. Some of them, the offices order everything. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like what we do is we told the teachers, don't order, like, markers and all that. We're going to order all that. So that $250 looks a little low, but honestly, if they come in and they say, I really need this, this is what I need it for and why, mm-hmm. but it's going to be $450, we usually get it. Mm-hmm. But if they're just coming in so that they can get 14 more beautifully colored markers, and these have scents on them so they smell better, and I'm not going to waste money on that. I tell them they got $250, we have a little leeway there, you know, because some people don't order much. I mean, I know, like, even when I was a teacher, I if I needed a new map or something, but I taught history never changed much, you know, so unless I found better pictures of the people I was teaching about or something, I didn't order much. So, you know, people, if they're not, they don't need it, they don't order it, but some people, you know, They don't know the difference between a needs and a want. You know, that's one of those, they never had economics. And so everything that they want, they write down, you know, and then they will come in with like $1,500 worth of stuff. No, you ain't going to get that. Now, what do you really need? Tell me what you need, why you need it. And take off the pencils and the glue sticks and the erasers. We buy all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I would venture to guess that probably by figuring that out, every teacher has the ability to get about $450, $500 worth of stuff, but $200 and some of it we're furnishing. We're not having them order it. Because they'll come with some crazy color that they want for a dry erase marker, and I'm sorry, but if you have four colors or six or eight, last year I think we gave them a 16-pack with 16 different colors, you know. Just because those were things that we were able to get donated to us or we bought at a really discounted rate. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions?
No.
We got to make a motion on it.
Oh, I would like to make a motion to approve the presentation, discussion, and voting for the proposed budget of 2022 through 2023 school year.
One second.
Aye.
All right. In your packets, I gave you two different, one's more of a policy, and one's more of a policy that's in the handbook. One's with the school student dress code. And in there, the dress code, I highlighted the sentences that changed and most changed by basically one word, what we want to do. Last year we had over 110 days where we had students sent to the office because of dress code violations. It was most of the year because they chose and kept choosing to wear jeans with cuts all over them, so that quite a bit of flesh was coming out of the cuts. And that was one of the things we said. They could wear jeans, they could wear, but if a kid gets a hole in a pair of jeans from the playground, that's one thing. But when they've got, you know, like strategically marked cuts and stuff, right, that's different. And then at the end of the year, we had, you know, girls that, you know, we had said that if they had a really nice, appropriate shirt that they could wear that. We preferred the collar shirts, but we allowed them to wear nice shirts. And their version of a nice shirt is something that's so tight that when you let it go, it's like one of those old-time things, and it just rolls up until it hits something that stops it. So we had We had lots of body things hanging out, and, you know. So every time we call the parents, you know, almost every time the parent would say, I told her she couldn't wear that, and she walked out of the house anyway. Or she went back in her bedroom and put something over it. She must have taken that off before she got to school. And so I think it's just easier if we just take any loopholes out and we just say, must be collared. If you want to wear a turtleneck, that's great. It's got a collar. Otherwise, a collared shirt, polo shirts, or, you know, the Oxfords. I don't think we ever have anybody really wearing Oxfords. So
we're kind of reinstituting the polos.
But we're allowing them to wear any color polo. It isn't just the one, two, or three colors. They can wear any color.
Right.
We just want them to wear a polo so that they're, you know, they're, it's a button-up shirt, and it's, you know, I guess we're just trying to keep everything covered.
Yeah. So you don't really think we need to address that it should be like a hip-length shirt?
Cause well, like, I think...
A collared shirt could be a lot of things, really, when you think about it. But it does...
I thought we... Let's see here.
See a polo in parentheses? And so that should cover it? And so we'll just see how it goes, and then if necessary...
I think if we just do this, instead of saying a specific length, because I don't know. I know when my wife washes mine, they slowly creep up. So if we say they got to be 3 inches past the waist or something,
right.
You want to get away from as much of that as you can in this world today.
But like you a collared shirt could also be a button-up shirt that's like sheer.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's why I think that with that Oxford thing in there, it kind of opens it up as long
right.
as it... They've got a collar on their shirt.
But you did put polo here, so I think that should... A polo shirt, to me, is something that you're wearing.
Right, yeah.
A blouse is the one that...
And polo defines it.
But, yeah, you're right, because sometimes people do take it too far.
Mm-hmm. What's Oxford?
Oxford's kind of a dress shirt. I had to ask Donna that, too, because I've heard of them. It's like,
is it like the golfers, the ones that the golf people wear? Like
the crocodiles?
No, it's like more like a silky type.
No,
okay.
They're
kind
of it's a button-up shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, button-up okay. Shirt, I right. thought it was. Oh, okay. Okay.
So as long as they have, I mean, I just want to try to stay away from as much skin as we can get.
Well, and as we do have the length thing going on, are the teachers? How's that working with them?
It'll be better this year. That's the thing that was so frustrating
they
last
didn't
year
do
was,
it.
You know, unless I'd walk out of. And do a loop and happen to see the kids between classes. And it could be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've got a girl that's a shirt's up to here. On how in the world did that girl make it to 7th hour without being sent to me? So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have the we'll start school a little differently this year. We're going to open up and start serving breakfast earlier, and then we're going to try to cut off breakfast at 8 o'clock. And then we're in that regard, encouraging our kids to get their butts to school. And we're not going to take the lunch breakfast into the classrooms. So we had too many staff members who didn't understand. You can teach while somebody's eating a banana. They think everybody's got to be done and all their food put away. Some of them do a great job with it, but others sit and wait till 9 o'clock before they start teaching because, you know, Susie just came in and she's got a banana bread and... You know, we can't teach when anybody's got food, bull honky, you know. On grab-and-go breakfast and you're in a school, you start teaching at 8 o'clock. If that's when we ring our bell and we start school, we start teaching at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It'll be your morning meeting or whatever it is you start the day with, but you start it at 8 o'clock.
What time do you start?
7? Oh, start serving breakfast. We're still working on that for sure by 7:30. I think we're going to push it to 7:15 because there are times when we have kids actually waiting outside by 7:15 or 7:20 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, we can use that extra funding for before and after school care. And so we're going to start 3 paras early at 7:15. And they will be in charge of controlling the cafeteria. And we're probably still going to ding for fevers.
Going back to this, the shirts, can they be like a padded shirt, like with design?
It says we prefer that they're plain, but in all honesty, if somebody comes in with a stripe, or I mean, I guess mine's not really plain, but I mean to say that it was like mine, but the the like ribs were a different color. I really could care less if they do that as long as they've got things covered. Because we don't have problems with the boys. I mean, this is simply a problem we have with the females because they want to be 19 and they're in sixth grade.
Yeah.
You know.
And so they're going to do jeans on Fridays.
We still, yeah, and they actually can use jeans anyway. What we said in here on Fridays is that they could, if they have knocko shirts, they can wear those on Fridays. And so, you know, the hope would be that last year when we opened up a contest, we got very little of anything back, and we never could have used any of the stuff that we got. I was hoping that we'd get some of our middle school kids to do it digitally, but.
What about the hooded sweatshirts? How
hooded sweatshirts they can walk in with. But what's happening is if you let them sit in the classroom, some of them want to put their head over and, you know, and, I mean, we have a new middle school staff. And so when we meet, that's going to be one of our emphasis. And I think that if we emphasize that at the beginning, and if they're going to put their hoods over, you give them a warning, and if they put it back on their head, send them to the office. I don't want them wearing them, but there is a court case going on right now. And hooded sweatshirts is part of it. And so here it says we don't want them to wear them inside, and that's what we'll tell the kids.
It says no hooded sweatshirts inside the building.
Yeah.
I think wear the sweater, but there's no reason for the student to be wearing the hood.
Exactly. And that's
they
the
all
thing.
Do, though.
Well,
they
I know, but some of them, that's their winter coat.
Right.
I mean, there are kids that are going to come with a hooded sweatshirt from end of October until the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
That's their winter coat. And so, you know, it's hard to say you can't have it. Especially, you know, girls seem to get cold more than the boys, well, then dress in layers. Wear a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. It's okay to wear a sweatshirt something that's got a collar and because you're cold and you're dressed appropriately underneath it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, but they just seem to take things, like we had the girls come with leggings and they were so tight it was like somebody put a vacuum and then sucked the air out of it, so it's just, you know, I don't need to see every wrinkle in your body, every strip from your underwear. We don't need that.
The lack thereof.
Yeah so, you know, this we'll have on the agenda for the 19th to approve it, because we try to always read things twice. We could approve it now, and I just don't remember the letters that would for the policy. But it's not a big deal. If we're okay to do it by the 19th, I just want to get.
So do you want to table this consent item?
It's a proposed.
Or it's a proposed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I put it under old business just because we talked about both of these last year. And the kindergarten one we said we were going to bring back. So I put it on there, and then I expected us to really act on it. Unless you want to act on this time, then we would wait until the next meeting. And this is more just for the clarification and making sure they understand it's got to be a collared shirt.
Okay.
The other one is the kindergarten one, and I have not taken the time to really look at it yet. this year we're going with one kindergarten, and we are getting a lot of enrollments way ahead of, I think we're already at 12 to 15 kindergarten enrollments, where last year, this time, I think we were at two or three. So, I mean, it was horrible. We didn't even have a dozen when we started school last year, you know. So I think we can visit this at the next meeting, and I really think what we did last year I thought worked out really well, because we had five or six kids that came through, and two of them passed the assessment, which I thought was a good assessment, and were ready for school, and those two did very well. One was close but not quite ready for school, and she came to school, and she will, I believe, was the one of the ones they wanted to retain. And then the other kids, we did not give them the option to be here. because they were not ready. I mean, we had, you know, one or two of them that had never been outside the home or away from mom, I think. You know, so when a kid sits down to do their half an hour evaluation or whatever, and all they do is scream and cry when dad leaves the room because he dropped them off, you know, it's pretty tough. So,
well, we have to remember, too, that we don't get reimbursed for those kids.
And that's why we want to revisit this, because that was what we said last year, was we would revisit that and look at a monetary amount to put on it. So we will do that at the July 19th. If you guys have ideas or anything with this after you look it over again, if you shoot me an email or call me or text me, and then we can, you know, I can look at it and see how we can have it more prepared for you guys when we start the meeting, so we are good on that. So if we're okay to table both of these items till the July meeting, that would be, you know, fine. If you decide you want to vote on the handbook, we could vote on the handbook. But I don't have the policy letters in front of me. I don't remember.
So, since we know that there's a policy title, it's up to you guys if you want to go. I can go on it today. We don't technically need the policy number. Specifically, you want to table it?
Honestly, I'm good with both of them. As far as the kindergarten one, I still believe that we shouldn't be charging the parents for that, because it's not like there's.
Well, I don't think that's on this agenda.
Well, they're kind of coupled together,
right?
And the only thing with the costs is this year. And until until we see a need where we actually have 40 kids or 35 kids that really want 30 kids that want to be in kindergarten here, we're actually okay with how we did it last year, because we actually got rid of a teacher and we're going to have about the same amount of kindergartners. But what we can't have happen is if we have three or four early enrollment students and then we have 25 regular ed students, and now all of a sudden we're at 28 or 29, and then now we go and hire a new teacher just because of the early enrollment. That's where we would run into a problem, because, you know, we had two teachers, but we had 14 and 15 kids, and three kids were, you know, younger. Could we have gotten by? I don't think we would have gotten by with 26 last year anyway. We weren't set up for that, and we had enough people already hired by the time. But that's the hard part, is with our people that do such late enrollments. So hopefully that's why we did the push this year. We did the early kindergarten roundup. We sent out letters. A call. We sent out letters. And we have had a lot more people come in early. So actually had a mother come the other day and wanted to make sure her kid was enrolled, because she was leaving for 2 weeks and didn't want to miss any deadlines so he or she wouldn't be able to go to school. So they're taking it serious. So, I mean, that would be the only thing, would be if we added something to this that said that we would have to expand the classroom because of early enrollments, we would have to revisit a cost issue. Because,
and
you know.
It also says on there, if I remember correctly, that that there's already set number of students, and there is no more availability, then they wouldn't be considered.
The letter I sent home said we have a set number of students right now. We're looking at 25 kindergartners.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, technically, like the student population for the classroom, that doesn't really hold, but we try to go by it. But the state, I think they said 28, but when we adopted it, which we don't have that because it all disappeared, was it was 21. What we approved. And that was not to hold to it. It's just like a general...
Just a guideline.
...number, because a lot of our kids come in, you know...
I think, you know, even 25 is a lot at a young age, but if you have a teacher and a para full-time and they work well together in coordination, I think it's okay. So...
How about we table it?
I really have to go.
I know you do.
I'm sorry, but we're...
That's okay. We'll table it until July
19th. Yes, thanks. I thought we had the meeting July 12th.
Well, okay, so here's the kicker. July 12th...
isn't going to work.
we could do it a different day that week, but I'm gone. I get back from my vacation, and I'm coming back here later on the 10th. And in order for me to have the agenda done and make sure we're addressing everything that we need to do, it's going to be hard to have it written. If you guys wanted to do it on the 13th or the 14th, Wednesday or Thursday of that week, that would be fine. I put down the 19th just to stay with the Tuesday. The only problem with the 19th is that Donna will be leaving to go to the ASBO. Kristen will be gone because we've got her in trainings that whole week. So I wouldn't have anybody from the business office here live, and we would be adopting the new budget. So that would be the only thing, if Donna could join us on the phone. But it might be easier just to have it on the 13th or 14th. If you guys want to do that, that works. I just didn't feel like I could get here, write the agenda on Sunday, and then have it, you know, posted in the library in time.
Well, since Griso does want to get to work, you guys can, I'm pretty flexible on that. So what do you guys think?
I'm good if you want to do the 13th or 14th, maybe in the 15th also.
Okay.
I'm off the 15th. The 13th and 14th,
What's the 15th, Friday?
It's a Friday, yeah.
But I think you leave early Fridays, don't you?
Yeah. Usually. What about a 7 a.m. meeting on Friday? On that Friday.
And that's we're going to get Brisa too again.
I know, but we just have, Brisa's got to get to work by 8 and she's got to.
Let's just keep
right
the 19th. That's fine. I'll move it. It's fine.
Well,
fix
the only problem would be that Donna wouldn't be here. So if
okay,
you had
so
to have
so
how about the 13th and
the
14th,
13th. Okay,
around 5:15.
Okay, yeah, let's go. Fine. Let's go the 13th because we have done some Wednesday ones.
Okay.
So we'll go July 13th at 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we could move on A and B, the evaluations and the bonuses that are triggered because this fiscal year ends today.
We got to do a motion for B.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep.
I'll make a motion to table item 2B, the student dress code and the kindergarten policy for our next school board meeting.
Okay. I'll second.
Aye.
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 Okay.
Are we doing this evaluate? Oh, never mind.
The reason I have that on here today is just because it's, if we can tie it to this fiscal year, it's way easier than using next year's funds to pay something into this year's contract.
Mm-hmm.
The bonuses, if you're curious of the amounts, Donna's bonus is $1,500 and Kristen's is $1,000.
I think we have that in last meeting, right? You put it in the paper?
It's on that for next year.
Okay.
For next year, that was next year. This
okay.
year, we just have to approve these so that we can fund them this fiscal year versus next year.
I have nothing against it. So I don't know. Do you guys?
So you're doing the evaluation, which
yes,
is
I've done both evaluations.
Okay, so
yes.
We're just approving
the fact that with both evaluations having met. At least meet
criteria.
Expectations or higher,
okay.
That they would qualify. So that's how I did it.
Did the bonuses stay the same from this previous year, or
no? The next year, the only Donna's we went without a bonus, and we just had to have it on her salary.
Uh-huh.
And Kristen has a bonus built in. Yeah, next year.
Okay.
I think the bonus stayed the same for Kristen. Though I think it was still only $1,000.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
so we'll have to do two separate motions.
Right. On item A, do we have any further?
No.
Item A, I'd like to move to approve the evaluation of Ms. Donna Horton.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, sorry.
All right.
We have discussion on B.
Cool.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item B pertaining to the evaluation for Kristen King.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. And then the last thing that we need to approve is that Heinfeld and Meach memo that I gave you guys. The state basically said the Attorney General's opinion that if we have anything where we provide food, like when we have our training days and they're all here, instead of having somebody go up to the bar and somebody else see them there and think that they're drinking or something during work, if we're going to provide food for any events, we just have to put an amendment or an addendum in their contract. So in order to add that addendum, we need to approve it by the board. And what we'll put in the addendum is, let's see, I wrote it back here. We'll put an amendment in the contract for allowing food for employees at certain events following the Attorney General's opinion. So basically during trainings, if we feed the staff or we do a big meal or whatever that they all bring stuff, we're covered then. So
there's not the new thing.
Any expense by the school. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It pretty much falls in line with a lot of the states now.
I have nothing.
I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm motioning to approve the employee contracts to allow the purchase of food for certain staff events per the Arizona State Attorney General's opinion.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. And that's the meeting. So we're good.
Is no superintendent report on this one?
No, I didn't, because it's a special report. Mm-hmm. For a special meeting.
Adjournment?
Okay.
So.
I'd like to adjourn this meeting at 8:11.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.